it's that that has enabled them to be so effective with cloning. But this could go into a six-month lecture, and everybody who wants to stay for 6 months, I love it. I love this subject.
I will, Commander.
But I think it'll just be you and me.
This is Les. I like to report to you that I just got lucky. My neighbor's two houses down has a beautiful olive tree. So I picked some leaf and seasoned it by drying. And I made that concoction, and it works real well. And so I brought some to Dharma to try. Somehow I got the message to bring some.
Every time we're down to needing to know how to do something, he always brings it. Thank you, yes.
And you're welcome.
These people lived before they came here on an acre of prime land up in the foothills, La Crescenta, La Cañada area, with 54 of those olive trees. And they said, why didn't you tell us then? You know? I think that I would like to turn this over to you, Mr. Ecker, and let's hear this tape. I don't know that everybody will want to stay for the entire series or go, or what do you want to do?
What are you going to say after the tape is over?
I'm going to say to you to take her home, and I'm going to say nothing, I assume, unless I've got another speaker in here.
Okay.
If you're up to it, I wouldn't mind asking a few more questions since I'm kind of new here. You had mentioned about the Red Chinese. What do you think they're going to do here in the United States that's going to be really detrimental to us?
Well, you're in such a mess, I'm not sure they can do anything that's going to be much more detrimental than is already accomplished. But if you are talking about the Chinese influence in the political arena right now, they won't do very much of anything except take great lumps of your business. They will, remember, they've got an ongoing war of the worlds against almost every nation in the world. The blacks may have felt put upon and enslaved, but nothing like the little coolie Chinese all over the world. If you go from the mainland Greece over to the Peloponnese Peninsula, it was once a peninsula. It is now a separate island, basically, because the Chinese, by hand, dug like 1,500-foot cliffs to make a canal through there. You can travel the west, and I'm sure you could do the same in the east, but it is so prevalent still in the west, these big viaduct systems. They brought in thousands of Chinese laborers, paid them nothing to almost nothing. They were truly the slave laborers of this world. And they're going to get you for that. So this is just an encroachment. What is happening in places like Long Beach is that they will take, and you see, this is going to be a big industrial, commercial shipping center. And it's destined to have a network worldwide that is going to take a major, major amount of business away from the United States. So it is just another way of encroaching into the society of the United States. And they're not nice. Don't misunderstand me. They're going to also exploit their people. And they will bring enough laborers with them. They'll tell you, well, we'll have so many jobs. Well, they may have to, through agreement, hire some engineers and so forth. But you're going to find wages to be extremely low because they can bring in all the manpower they need to rebuild. And they do plan not only to modify, but to restructure. And out here in the desert, they fully plan just to keep going. And there will be a major, major, major facility out in the Mojave Desert. So it will be a creeping thing. Right now, it is a political thing. There are millions and millions of Chinese. They have something like 500 million troops. And what did you need? 200 million was the biblical projection of when they could take the world. And there was another revelation or prophecy when the Euphrates River running through Iraq could be dried up so that troops could march across it on foot. You would be nearly at the time of the millennium. Well, you're right at the millennium with a few valves turned. The Euphrates River is now dry, and you have 500 million Chinese to march across up through Mongolia and over. And I believe the projection was that they would come down from the north across the Euphrates and into what is now Israel. It is still, you don't just march in and say, well, this is now Israel, and we took a vote in the United Nations to make this Israel. The Palestinians really felt they might have something to say about it, although they didn't. We're not allowed that. And the projections are that from Gog, Magog, will come the Mongolians, the Rus. Basically, the old Khazarian races will join with them. Now, isn't this interesting? Talk about your commercial ventures, your mercenaries. Some of those Khazarian lineaged people will join with these races again and push down. And they will push Israelis all the way into Turkey. And you're going to have a major, major, you know, across the Great Rift, there will be a split from the Black Sea, probably all the way to the Mediterranean, and it will be an incredible earthquake. It will be almost like a bottomless crevasse. And you can expect a split almost the entire length of the Great Rift. It's going to be interesting. And these things, watch your clues. You ask when. Well, I can't tell you when, but I can tell you that two of the major, major clues from the great prophets have already happened just regarding the Chinese. When you can cross the Euphrates by foot, and when you have 200 million, you have enough. On the other hand, what else do you have? You have massive weapons. You can blind a world. You can blind an army with one laser shot. These are not accidental things. Your governments are having to struggle and struggle and struggle to keep just ahead, hopefully to counter whatever technology is going to be thrown at you. And it's amazing. I really, myself, wish that you truly had kept your friend out in Nevada, I believe she was, who really was given to telling you what Nostradamus was telling you. And I'm not talking about canon. I mean, this lady was being given the insight, and she also was a lady who received quite a few very, very alien visitors into her hospital, and at last notice or communication with her, she was failing badly. She picked up a lot of radiation, and guess what? None of those craft had any radiation until your government got there. So you've got a lot of revealed things to be revealed. Come on, give me some more questions. This one's a live one.
Okay. I was told that when France was doing the nuclear detonations about a year and a half ago off of the South Pacific, that they also did a detonation off of South America. and that at that time it was an underwater detonation, but it blew a hole through the core of the first crust of the Earth, which is about 60 miles in depth. And at this point, there's a hole there that is having ocean water flowing in and meeting with lava. What effect is that going to have on that particular area? Will it build up a crust similar to how Hawaii was built? And what effect will it have on the Antarctic Circle because of the melting and the heat there, the water levels?
Well, you already have melting. And when you talk especially about the Antarctic, this is also true of the Arctic area, but especially in the Antarctic, once you are down below crust level, it's basically volcanic in its temperature or its mildness. All around the pole in the Antarctic are green valleys. These have all been seen. They've been visited, and your Admiral Byrd was one who did visit. After World War II, when actually you thought that Adolf Hitler was slain, he was picked up off of Finland, and he was brought with a large group of very young troopers. I mean, there was a very select core that went with him. They were not married. They were pretty much perfect physical specimens. And they went with the Hitler group down off Argentina and on down into the Antarctic, where there is, well, there's a U.S. base, a British base, a couple of British bases, the German base, and a lot of transfer of just personnel back and forth from those bases and into Argentina. This is why you will find so many of the Nazis who get away have been found down in Argentina and Brazil and those areas. Major bases underneath those ice shelves and really tropical climates among some of those openings. What you're going to have when you have reached I'm not sure that I can perceive what is meant by a hole in that crust, because what you have is always an evolvement or an eruption happening of lava coming up anyway through the Great Rift. There is Great Divide, a major, major rift in both the Atlantic and the Pacific, which literally continue to just pour up like this, and they build up. And out of that thrust is going to come your old continents anyway. And when you have enough land mass, what will make a difference is not so much in melting, but what will make a difference is the more eruption you have in an area where it can cool rapidly enough to build an island, say. You're going to have displacement of water. Water will always seek its lowest place. That's just physics. That's universal physics. And any time you have a building of a landmass, it displaces water. Something's going to give. Either the water level's going to rise, and it has nothing to do, and I take exception to Mr. Scanlon. His perception's right, but his calculation is wrong, simply because of the physical properties of ice and water. They're the same thing. Everything in the universe is the same thing, moving at different frequencies, different densities. So that when you have a melting of ice, you actually have a reduction in the amount of space taken up. How can I put this? You can put ice cubes in your cup, and they will become water, just or whatever you've frozen. But you freeze water, and guess what? Your ice cubes come up above the edge of the pan, or you break your champagne bottle. Valerie, be careful of that next week. When you cool your champagne, don't freeze it. It'll pop the cork. So that literally we talk about melting the polar caps and flooding the world. Doesn't work that way, because the ice mass is expanded. When it melts, it is going to become liquid water, and it truly is going to go to the lowest level of wherever it can flow. There will be some of those Arctic lakes that are plugged off as this ice begins to melt. But what you are having, and this is what is so serious, is that in all of these undersea areas now becoming so active, and as the Ring of Fire begins to go, and you mentioned Japan, this is seriousness. This is truly serious. It is because you're having off of South America so much undersea activity, and so much mass is building from underneath it. It is replacing or displacing water above. And when you get a tilt, and you're going to, you've already tilted, and it's just slipping, 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 and you go for 11 or a 13 degree slip in your polar, your polar axis, it is going to throw all that water across land masses. Sea masses are going to move into the landmass area because it's going to be displaced. And this is what also allows other continents to again rise. But you see, you're forming new continents, new islands, new landmass. It won't be just uncovering the old that has been under the sea. That will emerge, yes. But what you are doing from the crust outward is building new landmass. And it's fascinating.
Commander.
Go ahead.
Yes, back to the mundane here. Concerning the olive trees.
Yes.
The other day when Little Crow was here, and giving his talk, and afterwards you were talking, and you mentioned projects. And I went home and had a little brainstorm. Whoa, look out. And I had thought that one of the things that we could do for survival would be to have a source of pure oil. And I'm not talking about canola crap. I'm talking about something that's good for everybody on the planet. If it's something to just look at as a project, what is considered wasteland here in the United States, that's the land around Deming, for instance, hot, dry, sandy. You can grow sesame plants there and process the seeds into the purest oil on the planet, the best oil for the human body. It's a very healing oil, and it's just something to keep in mind. You can buy this land extraordinarily cheaply. And
unfortunately, at this point, extraordinarily cheaply is too expensive.
Yes, yes, I agree. It, from my point of view, it is for me. But as a project, if you want to keep in mind the group, you know, you could raise sesame plants and create the oil. If it's marketed right, you can sell it, whatever. It's an extraordinarily beneficial oil.
Well, there's a little bit of a sore spot because, you see, there have been so many problems in this area from the enemy that I don't think any of you ever understood the value of what we had and have had to give up. And one thing that had to, that was acquired and had to be given up was an entire, just like she's talking about sesame seeds, but it could be anything, was an entire jojoba processing plant in Shafter. And I don't think any of you have any understanding of how valuable that was. And now it's gone. We're tired of having to go about living the way we've had to go about living. So yes, we will keep it in mind. We have kept it in mind. And many things have come and gone, and we have to consider them experiences and lessons, of which I, for one, am tired of them. More questions? Anybody?
With the increasing impact of China on our world, what significance does the Muslim population in China, which I understand is extensive, have on the direction some of our efforts might be going?
Very positive. So will the Muslim influence those who are, as we speak, OPEC, for instance, working to fund great projects and things in the Indonesian triangle for greater autonomy for those Muslim people. You have a major separation in the Oriental races. Well, three major: the Muslim, Buddhists, and Hindu. And yet, it is amazing, people. Can you possibly realize that one of the most heinous groups of people ever to hit your world were the Christians? Now, that sounds like such a shocking statement. Oh, but that was based on Christ. So is Hindu, Shinto, Shinti, that too. Buddha was considered a Christ. Hear me carefully. Confucius, to many, was considered a Christ. Christ is a state of being. It is a remarkable achievement in realization, enlightenment. It doesn't mean that those individuals walking as human were totally perfect, but they were perfect in their understanding and enlightenment in soul truth. So you will find everything, with the exception of pure Satanists who worships evil, literally worships evil, to be basically always founded in the goodness of the Christ ideal. I-D-E-A-L. And all of those religions will taper off into a man-made understanding and usually become an idol-centered something. At the time of Moses, the golden calf, you name it, the Buddha statue. And mankind forgets that he builds the statue to something that he idolizes, that was once his ideal, manifest from his idea, I-D-E-A, into something that may or may not exist, but he then puts a doctrine or a set of rules on it. And there will always come along the greedy priest or whatever who says, I will have a revelation today and I will make a new rule and they will serve me better. I will control these masses through my power. Well, now you have to go back and look to ancient Egypt, ancient China. And what was the culture? What were the pictures? What was depicted? The serpent usually always comes into the picture. This is the opposite symbol of a Christ, but he always gets there. Because of this duality of man's personality, his ability and his free will, ability to reason, and he decides what it is that maybe is to his best advantage. And it usually doesn't start out, as something totally a revelation out of the sky, although those are used most. You know, those become the icon. But you will find that those religions basically are based on Christ idealism. The teachings, those old commandments. And you see, for instance, we used to talk about this quite a lot. What are the Ten Commandments, if you will, in Pleiades? There are only eight of them, because there's no need to discuss the Sabbath. No one could decide when the Sabbath is anyway, and therefore you know God did not establish it. Whoever was going to run the churches established when the Sabbath would be and what his orders would be and what you had to give back, you see. So you don't have to concern about what are the true commandments of God. They are the reasonable, common law, common sense commandments. You ain't going to kill somebody and get away with it. Your soul will not get away with it. And you see, war is just as destructive because you have permission to go kill in war. Or you have orders to go kill in war. Therefore, you know war cannot be of God because you have no permission from God to kill. It says, thou shalt not kill. It doesn't say, sometimes you can kill, and it's okay. There are all degrees of every kind of offense. And it always, just like common law, is based on intent. What is your intent when you commit an act of any kind? So along came the man that later was called Jesus. This was a fine man named Isu Emmanuel. He was not born Jesus. And yet even your Bibles have been tampered with now to say that Jesus, and they called his name Jesus. No, they did not call his name Jesus. The Bibles themselves were like 330 years after Christ, before anything was written. Does everybody hear me? And when the Gospels were chosen, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were chosen by German scholars in Germany, translating out of 28 Gospels. These were the most similar. These were the ones that had best recollection and, quite frankly, the most papyrus had survived. But the best scrolls were found, and these were the ones, and they called his name Emmanuel.
If we're going to go into another tape, we better do it. Otherwise, we should shut this down and go into these record tapes.
Can you live without this information one more day? So can I, because before we're done, you'll get it all again and again.
Well, we can't die anyway, so might as well live.
That's right. It's that that has enabled them to be so effective with cloning. But this could go into a six-month lecture, and everybody who wants to stay for 6 months, I love it. I love this subject.
I will, Commander.
But I think it'll just be you and me.
This is Les. I like to report you that I just got lucky. My neighbor's two houses down has a beautiful olive tree, so I picked some leaf and seasoned it by drying, and I made that concoction and. It works real well. And so I brought some Dharma to try. Somehow I got the message to bring some.
Every time we're down to needing to know how to do something, he always brings it. Thank you, yes.
And
you're welcome. These people lived before they came here on an acre of prime land up in the foothills, La Crescenta, La Cañada area. With 54 of those olive trees. And they said, why didn't you tell us then? you know. I think that I would like to turn this over to you, Mr. Ecker, and let's hear this tape. I don't know that everybody will want to stay for the entire series or go, or what do you want to do?
What are you going to say after the tape is over?
I'm going to say to you to take her home, and I'm going to say nothing, I assume, unless I've got another speaker in here.
Okay.
If you're up to it, I wouldn't mind asking a few more questions since I'm kind of new here. You had mentioned about the Red Chinese. What do you think they're going to do here in the United States that's going to be really detrimental to us?
Well, you're in such a mess, I'm not sure they can do anything that's going to be much more detrimental than is already accomplished. But if you are talking about the Chinese influence in the political arena right now, they won't do very much of anything except take great lumps of your business. They will, remember, they've got an ongoing war of the worlds against almost every nation in the world. The blacks may have felt put upon and enslaved, but nothing like the little coolie Chinese all over the world. If you go from the mainland Greece over to the Peloponnese Peninsula, it was once a peninsula. It is now a separate island, basically, because the Chinese, by hand, dug like 1,500-foot cliffs to make a canal through there. You can travel the west, and I'm sure you could do the same in the east, but it is so prevalent still in the west, these big viaduct systems. They brought in thousands of Chinese laborers, paid them nothing to almost nothing. They were truly the slave laborers of this world. And they're going to get you for that. So this is just an encroachment. What is happening in places like Long Beach is that they will take, and you see, this is going to be a big industrial, commercial shipping center. And it's destined to have a network worldwide that is going to take a major, major amount of business away from the United States. So it is just another way of encroaching into the society of the United States. And they're not nice. Don't misunderstand me. They're going to also exploit their people. And they will bring enough laborers with them. They'll tell you, well, we'll have so many jobs. Well, they may have to, through agreement, hire some engineers and so forth. But you're going to find wages to be extremely low because they can bring in all the manpower they need to rebuild. And they do plan not only to modify but to restructure. And out here in the desert, they've fully planned just to keep going. And there will be a major, major, major facility out in the Mojave Desert. So it will be a creeping thing. Right now, it is a political thing. There are millions and millions of Chinese. They have something like 500 million troops. And what did you need? 200 million was the biblical projection of when they could take the world. And there was another revelation or prophecy when the Euphrates River running through Iraq could be dried up so that troops could march across it on foot. You would be nearly at the time of the millennium. Well, you're right at the millennium with a few valves turned. The Euphrates River is now dry, and you have 500 million Chinese to march across up through Mongolia and over. And I believe the projection was that they would come down from the north across the Euphrates and into what is now Israel, it is still, you don't just march in and say, well, this is now Israel. And we took a vote in the United Nations to make this Israel. The Palestinians really felt they might have something to say about it, although they didn't. We're not allowed that. And the projections are that from Gog, Magog, will come the Mongolians, the Rus. Basically, the old Khazarian races will join with them. Now, isn't this interesting? Talk about your commercial ventures, your mercenaries. Some of those Khazarian lineaged people will join with these races again and push down. And they will push Israelis all the way into Turkey. And you're going to have a major, major, you know, across the Great Rift, there will be a split from the Black Sea probably all the way to the Mediterranean. And it will be an incredible earthquake. It will be almost like a bottomless crevasse. And you can expect a split almost the entire length of the Great Rift. It's going to be interesting. And these things, watch your clues. You ask when. Well, I can't tell you when, but I can tell you that two of the major, major clues from the great prophets have already happened just regarding the Chinese. When you can cross the Euphrates by foot, and when you have 200 million, you have enough. On the other hand, what else do you have? You have massive weapons. You can blind a world. You can blind an army with one laser shot. These are not accidental things. Your governments are having to struggle and struggle and struggle to keep just ahead, hopefully to counter whatever technology is going to be thrown at you. And it's amazing. I really, myself, wish that you truly had kept your friend out in Nevada, I believe she was, who really was given to telling you what Nostradamus was telling you. And I'm not talking about canon. I mean, this lady was being given the insight. And she also was a lady who received quite a few very, very alien visitors into her hospital. And at last notice or communication with her, she was failing badly. She picked up a lot of radiation. And guess what? None of those craft had any radiation until your government got there. So you've got a lot of revealed things to be revealed. Come on, give me some more questions. This one's a live one.
Okay. I was told that when France was doing the nuclear detonations about a year and a half ago off of the South Pacific, that they also did a detonation off of South America, and that at that time it was an underwater detonation, but it blew a hole through the core of the first crust of the Earth, which is about 60 miles in depth. And at this point, there's a hole there that is having ocean water flowing in and meeting with lava. What effect is that going to have on that particular area? Will it build up a crust similar to how Hawaii was built? And what effect will it have on the Antarctic Circle because of the melting and the heat there, the water levels?
Well, you already have melting. And when you talk especially about the Antarctic, this is also true of the Arctic area, but especially in the Antarctic, once you are down below crust level, it's basically volcanic in its temperature or its mildness. All around the pole in the Antarctic are green valleys. These have all been seen. They've been visited, and your Admiral Byrd was one who did visit. After World War II, when actually you thought that Adolf Hitler was slain, he was picked up off of Finland, and he was brought with a large group of very young troopers. I mean, there was a very select corps that went with him. They were not married. They were pretty much perfect physical specimens. And they went with the Hitler group down off Argentina and on down into the Antarctic, where there is, well, there's a U.S. base, a British base, a couple of British bases, the German base, and a lot of transfer of just personnel back and forth from those bases and into Argentina. This is why you will find so many of the Nazis who get away have been found down in Argentina and Brazil and those areas. Major bases underneath those ice shelves and really tropical climates among some of those openings. What you're going to have when you have reached I'm not sure that I can perceive what is meant by a hole in that crust, because what you have is always an evolvement or an eruption happening of lava coming up anyway through the Great Rift. There is a great divide, a major, major rift in both the Atlantic and the Pacific, which literally continue to just pour up like this, and they build up. And out of that thrust is going to come your old continents anyway. And when you have enough land mass, what will make a difference is not so much in melting, but what will make a difference is the more eruption you have in an area where it can cool rapidly enough to build an island, say. You're going to have displacement of water. Water will always seek its lowest place. That's just physics. That's universal physics. And any time you have a building of a landmass, it displaces water. Something's going to give. Either the water level's going to rise, and it has nothing to do, and I take exception to Mr. Scanlon. His perception's right, but his calculation is wrong, simply because of the physical properties of ice and water. They're the same thing. Everything in the universe is the same thing, moving at different frequencies, different densities, so that when you have a melting of ice, you actually have a reduction in the amount of space taken up. How can I put this? You can put ice cubes in your cup, and they will become water, just or whatever you've frozen. But you freeze water, and guess what? Your ice cubes come up above the edge of the pan, or you break your champagne bottle. Valerie, be careful of that next week. When you cool your champagne, don't freeze it. It'll pop the cork. So that literally, we talk about melting the polar caps and flooding the world. Doesn't work that way, because the ice mass is expanded. When it melts, it is going to become liquid water, and it truly is going to go to the lowest level of wherever it can flow. There will be some of those Arctic lakes that are plugged off as this ice begins to melt. But what you are having, and this is what is so serious, is that in all of these undersea areas now becoming so active, and as the Ring of Fire begins to go, and you mentioned Japan, this is seriousness. This is truly serious. It is because you're having off of South America so much undersea activity, and so much mass is building from underneath it. It is replacing or displacing water above. And when you get a tilt, and you're going to, you've already tilted, and it's just slipping, 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 and you go for 11 or a 13 degree slip, in your polar, your polar axis is going to throw all that water across land masses. Sea masses are going to move into the landmass area because it's going to be displaced. And this is what also allows other continents to again rise. But you see, you're forming new continents, new islands, new landmass. It won't be just uncovering the old that has been under the sea. That will emerge, yes. But what you are doing from the crust outward is building new landmass. And it's fascinating.
Commander.
Go ahead.
Yes, back to the mundane here. Concerning the olive trees.
Yes.
The other day when Little Crow was here, and giving his talk, and afterwards you were talking, and you mentioned projects. And I went home and had a little brainstorm. Whoa, look out. And I had thought that one of the things that we could do for survival would be to have a source of pure oil. And I'm not talking about canola crap. I'm talking about something that's good for everybody on the planet. If it's something to just look at as a project, what is considered wasteland here in the United States, that's the land around Deming, for instance, hot, dry, sandy. You can grow sesame plants there and process the seeds into the purest oil on the planet, the best oil for the human body. It's a very healing oil, and it's just something to keep in mind. You can buy this land extraordinarily cheaply. And
unfortunately, at this point, extraordinarily cheaply is too expensive.
Yes, yes, I agree. It, from my point of view, it is for me. But as a project, if you want to keep in mind the group, you know, you could raise sesame plants and create the oil. If it's marketed right, you could sell it, whatever. It's an extraordinarily beneficial oil.
Well, there's a little bit of a sore spot because, you see, there have been so many problems in this area from the enemy that I don't think any of you ever understood the value of what we had and have had to give up. And one thing that had to that was acquired and had to be given up was an entire, just like she's talking about sesame seeds, but it could be anything, was an entire jojoba processing plant in Shafter. And I don't think any of you have any understanding of how valuable that was. And now it's gone. We're tired of having to go about living the way we've had to go about living. So yes, we will keep it in mind. We have kept it in mind. And many things have come and gone, and we have to consider them experiences and lessons, of which I, for one, am tired of them. More questions? Anybody?
With the increasing impact of China on our world, what significance does the Muslim population in China, which I understand is extensive, have on the direction some of our efforts might be going?
Very positive. So will the Muslim influence those who are, as we speak, OPEC, for instance, working to fund great projects and things in the Indonesian triangle for greater autonomy for those Muslim people. you have a major separation in the Oriental races. Well, three major, the Muslim, Buddhist, and Hindu. And yet, it is amazing, people. Can you possibly realize that one of the most heinous groups of people ever to hit your world were the Christians? Now, that sounds like such a shocking statement. Oh, but that was based on Christ. So is Hindu, Shinto, Shinti, that too. Buddha was considered a Christ. Hear me carefully. Confucius, to many, was considered a Christ. Christ is a state of being. It is a remarkable achievement in realization, enlightenment. It doesn't mean that those individuals walking as human were totally perfect, but they were perfect in their understanding and enlightenment in soul truth. So you will find everything, with the exception of pure Satanists who worships evil, literally worships evil, to be basically always founded in the goodness of the Christ ideal, I-D-E-A-L. And all of those religions will taper off into a man-made understanding and usually become an idol-centered something. At the time of Moses, the golden calf, you name it, the Buddha statue. And mankind forgets that he builds the statue to something that he idolizes, that was once his ideal, manifest from his idea, I-D-E-A, into something that may or may not exist, but he then puts a doctrine or a set of rules on it. And there will always come along the greedy priest or whatever who says, I will have a revelation today and I will make a new rule and they will serve me better. I will control these masses through my power. Well, now you have to go back and look to ancient Egypt, ancient China. And what was the culture? What were the pictures? What was depicted? The serpent usually always comes into the picture. This is the opposite symbol of a Christ, but he always gets there. Because of this duality of man's personality, his ability and his free will, ability to reason, and he decides what it is that maybe is to his best advantage. And it usually doesn't start out, you know, as something totally a revelation out of the sky, although those are used most. You know, those become the icon. But you will find that those religions basically are based on Christ idealism. The teachings, those old commandments. And you see, for instance, we used to talk about this quite a lot. What are the Ten Commandments, if you will, in Pleiades? There are only eight of them. Because there's no need to discuss the Sabbath. No one could decide when the Sabbath is anyway. And therefore, you know God did not establish it. Whoever was going to run the churches established when the Sabbath would be and what his orders would be and what you had to give back. You see. So you don't have to concern about what are the true commandments of God. They are the reasonable, common law, common sense commandments. You ain't going to kill somebody and get away with it. Your soul will not get away with it. And You see, war is just as destructive because you have permission to go kill in war. Or you have orders to go kill in war. Therefore, you know war cannot be of God because you have no permission from God to kill. It says, thou shalt not kill. It doesn't say, sometimes you can kill, and it's okay. There are all degrees of every kind of offense. And it always, just like common law, is based on intent. What is your intent when you commit an act of any kind? So along came the man that later was called Jesus. This was a fine man named Isu Emmanuel. He was not born Jesus. And yet even your Bibles have been tampered with now to say that Jesus, and they called his name Jesus. No, they did not call his name Jesus. The Bibles themselves were like 330 years after Christ, before anything was written. Does everybody hear me? And when the Gospels were chosen, the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, were chosen by German scholars in Germany, translating out of 28 Gospels. These were the most similar. These were the ones that had best recollection and, quite frankly, the most papyrus had survived. But the best scrolls were found, and these were the ones, and they called his name Emmanuel.
Commander, if we're going to go into another tape, we better do it. Otherwise, we should shut this down and go into these record tapes.
Can you live without this information one more day? So can I, because before we're done, you'll get it all again and again.
Well, we can't die anyway, so might as well live.
That's right.